The shiur this morning is really a shiur l'refuah shleima Baruch Mordechai ben Chava. Chava Fatla's son is ill, and we all should have in mind that our Torah study is that he should have a refuah shleima b'mehera, and the Rebbeinu Shem should send his grace and kindness. Today's shiur is a piece of Gemara, a shtickle Gemara, the very end of Masechet Ta'anit. The Gemara is beautiful. The Gemara is fascinating. There are even parts of the Gemara that are troubling and puzzling. So we're going to do as much as we can with it. At the bottom of the first side, we have the last Mishnah, famous last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit. The rest above and on the other side is the Gemara on top of that Mishnah. Let's look at the Mishnah first. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, Lo hayu yomim tovim liYisrael k'chamisha asar ba'av uchiyom ha-kippurim. There were never greater yomim tovim for the Jewish people than the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. Yomim tovim. How were they celebrated? Shebahen v'not Yisrael yotzot v'chlei lovan Shaul and the daughters of Israel. Yiddish HaMeidach went out wearing borrowed white clothing. Shalom Levayi Shetmi Sheinlo. Everybody wore borrowed clothing in order not to embarrass anybody who doesn't have. No, it's that there. This one girl is going to go out with beautiful clothing that's her own, and the other Nebuch is going to have to go ahead and borrow. No, there was something about this celebration of Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur where the point was not to embarrass everybody, that everybody should be concerned about everybody else. So everybody went out with, in a sense, I would say it was in a certain form, it was like a uniform. It was a uniform. Nobody is going to stand out more than the other because of the clothing that they wore. Kol HaKelim Tumim Tefillah. Now we're talking about a time when the Beis HaMikdash, and even after the Beis HaMikdash, where they would eat bitahara with purity, and therefore if a garment had become ritually impure, you had to immerse it in a mikveh, and of course it dries, and then it can be worn again. So it seems in the Mishnah that the girls going out, that took place all over, but Benot Yerushalayim, the daughters of Yerushalayim, Yotzo, the Cholo, the Kramim, they dance in the vineyards. Now, of course, I should make it clear, I'm learning this Mishnah now because this Shabbos is Chamisha also Ba'av, the 15th day of Av. So we're going to learn about the 15th day of Av. There's something very fascinating about it. Now, the daughters of Yerushalayim, back to the Mishnah, the daughters of Yerushalayim went out and they danced in the vineyards. And what would they? What would they say? Bachor, young man, sonoi nechodie, lift up your eyes and see. Ma'atoboder, look what you choose for yourself. Look clearly to see what it is that you choose. Al titen nechod benoi. Don't take a look at beauty. Ten nechod mishpacha. Take, you know what you should look for? A maidel that comes in a gitta mishpacha. Sheker hachayim vehevel hayofi isha yirat Hashem hit halol. Grace is falsehood and beauty is meaningless. A woman who is God fearing, she is the one who is praised. The omen says, Tnulam pri adel v'alu avashadim maaseho. Give her from the fruits of her labors, and what is it that should bring her praise in the gates of the Jewish people? Deeds, good deeds. So it also says, go out and see the daughters of Tzion, look at King Shlomo, the crown that his mother gave him, beyond Chatunato, the day of his wedding, the day of the great joy of his heart. Beyond Chatunato, what is the chasana of the Jewish people? That's Matan Torah, the day the Torah was given. Ubiyon Simchat Libo, Ze Binyan Beit HaMikdash, Sheibone B'Meheira B'Yameinu, the day of the great joy, that's the day of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash that should be built speedily in our days.
Amen.
The Gemara, okay, good, yes, Amen. And that's the end of the last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit. So of course we have to understand what was so special about Chamisha Asar Ba'av Tu Ba'av. So now we're going to read the Gemara and we will comment. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. You see that at the top of the page. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, the Gemara begins by quoting the first section of this Mishnah, where Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said there were no greater Yom Tovim to Israel than Chamisha Asar Ba'av to Yom HaKippurim. That, by the way, it's quite a statement, you know. We have Yom Tovim. What do we have Yom Tovim? We have a Pesach, we have a Shulis, we have a Sukkot, a Rosh Hashanah. Ah, Purim, we have Yom Tovim. What does he mean? In what way was this so unusual? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Yom Kippurim, it is understandable that Yom Kippur is considered an especially festive day, Mishum Di'iz Beis Slicha Umechila, since it was a day of forgiveness and pardon. It was the day that God forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the Egel. And Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchot Achronot, it is the day on which the second set of Luchot were given. Remember, the first set of Luchot were shattered by Moshe. Moshe shattered them on the 17th of Tammuz, on Shivaso Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchot. And after he shattered the Luchot, after he had come down from having spent 40 days at Sinai, on the day Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu went up. He was there for 40 days, and during that period of time, God gave him the Luchot. And then God tells him at the end of those 40 days, Lech, they go down because your people have corrupted themselves. They've made a golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, Shivasa the Tammuz. He sees them dancing around the Egel, who takes the Luchot, and he shatters them. The next day he goes up again to the mountain. 40 days that he spends begging for forgiveness, which brings us to Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then another 40 days in order to make the second set of Luchos, which means that 120 days after Shavuos, which doesn't simply happen to, but it comes out on Yom Kippur. On that day he came down and he gave the Jewish people the second set of Luchot, and he told them, Salachti kivodecha, God has forgiven. And as a result of that, of course, Yom Kippur becomes for all time the ultimate day of Kaporos, Luchot, Mechila, forgiveness. Alright. So therefore the Gemara says, we understand what's so special about Yom Kippur. It's the day that Torah was given. It's the day that the Torah was given, and the sin of the Egel was forgiven. How did you like that? Wasn't that nice? Okay. So now, but then the Gemara asks, "Ela Tu Ba'av Mayhi? What's so special? What's the significance of the 15th of Av?" All right. The Gemara is going to give a series of answers. We're going to move, you know, with alacrity. Let's go ahead. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, answer number one. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mashmuel Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebezeb, the day on which the tribes were permitted to intermarry with one another. What does that mean? When the daughters of Tzolochah came to Moshe and they said, you told us that the halacha is that men are going to inherit. They're going to get portions of the land of Israel. Loma nigora. Why should we be denied a portion in Eretz Israel? We're five daughters. Our father is no longer alive. That means that our family is not going to have a portion in Eretz Israel. Moshe didn't know the answer, so he said, wait, I'm going to communicate with God. And God's response was, Cain, Benot, Tzlocha, Dora. You know, they have a point. The daughters of Tzlocha have a point. So therefore, the halacha was that the daughters of Tzlocha were going to get a share in the land. Ah, but toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar, there is a catch. There's a condition. Because the family, they came from the family of Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh. So the tribe of Manasseh said, listen, the daughters of Tzlocha are going to marry people from other tribes. That means all of this land that was supposed to be part of the tribe of Manasseh is now going to go to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, whoever they marry is going to end up with their piece of land. Which means now the tribe of Manasseh is going to be denied part of what should be theirs. Ah, so what was the compromise? The compromise solution was that the daughters of Tzlocha have to marry within the tribe. They have to marry people from the tribe of Manasseh. Because if they do indeed marry out, there's going to be a loss to the tribe of Manasseh. That means they were limited. They were limited in the fact is we're all limited, you know, to one anyway. And they're very good people. By the way, tribe of Manasseh was very suited. Shapchin would have said that the daughters of Tzlocha, who loved Eretz Israel, should marry somebody from Manasseh. Because Manasseh was from Yosef, and Yosef was an Ohev Eretz Israel. This one loves Eretz Israel, that one loves Eretz Israel. They can both live on a mountaintop in the Shomron. And everybody will live happily ever after. So that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. This is, of course, before they go into Eretz Yisrael. It turns out we're going to learn that this prohibition on the daughters of Tzlocha or their families to marry out lasted only one generation, until all of the land of Eretz Yisrael was already apportioned to the tribes. Once they're apportioned to the tribes, then it doesn't make any difference. Any tribe can marry anybody. Now it turned out that the first generation to which this prohibition of marrying out applied came to an end sometime, a generation after they entered Eretz Israel. And you know when? When the rabbis decided this is it, it's finished, it was Tubal. Tubal. And my daughters, what verse was interpreted to derive that the tribes may hand put into marriage? This is the law that Hashem commanded to the daughters of Tzlocha, and the Gemara interprets it. This means it's for the here, for the now, this generation, the next generation no longer has any kind of prohibition or limitation in terms of who they can marry. Okay? Now, keep in mind, as we go through each one of the reasons why Tu Ba'av is a Yantif, just keep in mind what moment in history it applied to. This one, of course, applies to the first generation after entering Eretz Yisrael. It was a Yom Tov then. I think I'm missing part of the Gemara. No. All right, here. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. Next count. That's how it works. Okay. I did it correctly. To the next column, right hand column. The Gemara offers another explanation for the festive nature of the 15th of Av. Omrab Yosef, Omrab Nachman. This is the second one. There's supposed to be a line down there at the bottom that separates the top from the bottom. Okay, no, I'm not so good at these things. Omrab Nachman, Omrab Yosef, Omrab Nachman, Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Nachman, Yom Shehutai Shevet Din Yomin Lavo Bakol. There's something else that happened on the 15th. Of Av, it was there which the tribe of Binyamin was permitted again to come into the congregation of Israel. Okay? What's the story? What is the story with Shemet Binyamin? There's a terrible, terrible incident that is related in Sefer Shoftim about Pelegesh, the giver, a concubine and giver, a city in Binyamin committed some terrible acts with her. And all of Israel became terribly upset with Binyamin. They had the entire tribe because of what had happened in this one town in Binyamin. And all of Israel went to war with Binyamin and wiped out the tribe except for 400 who remained alive. It was a terrible, terrible story. Terrible story.
Is that why Binyamin is a small tribe?
Well, that certainly made them a small tribe, but they had begun being a very big tribe. Binyamin had 10 children. But it cannot explain them being a small tribe in Torah, because Pelegesh the giver, the concubine story, didn't happen till years later, in the days of the judges. Anyway, the important thing is that all of Israel gathered at Mitzvah, and they took an oath that none of their daughters should marry the tribe of Binyamin. And it reached a point. One day, a tribe is going to disappear from Israel. Unbelievable. So, a decision was taken, and it was a legitimate decision, that the oath that Israel had taken applied only to them, not to their children. Their children can marry the tribe of Binyamin. That decision was made on Tuvah of all the strange things. Yom Shehutu Shevet Binyamin Lavo, we call the 15th of Av, was the day that the tribe of Benjamin was permitted to marry into the congregation of Israel. Shenema, as it says, the Ish Yisrael Nidra B'Mitzvah Lema, and each Israelite swore in Mitzvah saying, Ish Mimenu Lo Yitein Es Bito L'Binyamin L'Isha, no man from us shall give a daughter to Binyamin as a wife. What was it that happened on the 15th of Av that they decided that there are those who can marry Binyamin? So the Gemara says, my gosh, what verse was interpreted as implying permission for subsequent generations to offer their children in marriage to members of the tribe of Binyamin? Oh my God, Mimenu, Ish Mimenu, none of us may give our children to Binyamin. None of us may marry into Binyamin, but our children met. Gemara offers a third explanation. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Bachanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shekolu Bo Mesa in Midbar. Now, the first answer that we gave was talking about the first generation after they had entered Eretz Yisrael, when the daughters of Menashe were able to marry anybody that they wanted, and all of the tribes, by the way, it was not only once the halakha was given to the daughters of Tzlachot, it meant no girl in all of Israel was permitted to marry outside of their tribe until all the tribes received their portion. It was not something only for those five daughters of Tzlachot. So the second answer was that the tribe of Binyamin was permitted into marry. That took place maybe three generations after they entered Eretz Yisrael. The third answer in the Gemara. Amar Rabbah Bar Muhammad, Yom Shekolu Bo Meitei Midbar, the day on which those who were to die in the desert ended dying. And the Rashi explains, the Gemara says, that after the sin of the Meraglim, when God said, all will die in the desert, what happened was every year, they would announce in the camp that everybody should dig graves for themselves, and they went to sleep in the graves. And in the morning, there would be an announcement, you can come out. And there were usually 15,000 who had died during the night. They came out of their graves, and every year they went back. Every year. The last year in the desert, because all of those between age 20 and 60 were destined to die in the desert. On Tisha B'Av, the 40th year in the desert, there were 15,000 people who had gone into their graves, and they all got up in the morning. We must have made a mistake. So they went back the next night into their graves. They kept going back into their graves and getting up until the night of Tu Ba'av, because they saw that there was a full moon. So they knew that they hadn't made a mistake. But you know what they did know? That the Gzeda, the decree, is over. And they have been spared. Yom Shekolu Bo Meitei Midbar, the day on which that decree against the Jewish people came to an end. It was the 15th day of Av. Yom Shekolu Bo Meitei Midbar, to Amar Mar. Mar said, Ad Shelo Kolu Meitei Midbar Lo Hoyod Dibur in Moshe. As long as they were still alive, the generation of the Midbar, God did not speak with Moshe for those 38 years in the same way that he had spoken to him before and as he did afterwards. Ula Omar. Now, what's fascinating, just something to add to that, in Parashat Matzeh, when it lists all of the journeys of the Jewish people, it comes to the last journey, and the Torah points out there. Now, I'll tell you why I remember this. This took place in West Hempstead, you know, in a previous lifetime. I was rabbi here in West Hempstead, and one morning, one of the fellows comes into the shul, says, Rabbi, you know, he says, Rabbi, I know he's got the kind of question to ask that he expects that Rabbi is not going to be able to answer the question. Anyway, he asks me first, what's the only yahrzeit that is recorded in Tanakh? The only yahrzeit. We're never told when somebody dies. What is the only yard sign? So I said, yeah, I know. This was the first blow that the fellow had. It was in that parasha, it says that on Rosh Chodesh, on the first day of the fourth month, Aaron HaKohen died. Rosh Chodesh of, he died. This is Rosh Chodesh of in the 40th year in the desert. So, he asks me the next question. Since I answered one question, now comes the moment at which he expects to have me over there. And he says, well, why did they record only this yahrzeit? Why? So he's standing there expecting, like the rabbi to say, you know, afraid to tell you, I really don't know. Said I, you know why? Because I'm Rosh Chodesh Av in the 40th year in the desert, something happened that was going to affect Klal Yisrael. In that year, a few days later, came Tisha B'Av. When that Tisha B'Av came, 15,000 people who still remained alive went into their graves. The following morning,
The following morning, they all got out of their graves. They're the ones who went back into the graves until until the 15th of Av. On the 15th of Av, do you know what they know? They now know that it's all over. The decree of the 40 years is over. So I asked, why did it happen? Why were they spared? Do you know why they were spared? Because 15 days earlier, on Rosh Chodesh Av, Aaron HaKohen died. And you know what the Torah says there? By Yifku also Kol Beit Yisrael, all of Israel mourn for him. All of Israel mourn for him means that when you mourn for a tzaddik, that tzaddik becomes a great melech yosher for you. Those 15,000, because they mourn for the great tzaddik Aaron HaKohen, that brought an end to the gezeirah, and therefore they were spared. And that's why the Torah tells us the yahrzeit of Aaron, so we should know the impact and the power of the death of a tzaddik. But more than that, only if the tzaddik is appreciated. How do you know if the tzaddik has been appreciated, if they understood what they had in their midst? Because it says, by Yitro also called Beit Yisrael, all the house of Israel mourned him. By the way, when Moshe died, it says, by Yitro also Yisrael. It doesn't say called Beit Yisrael. And here the Torah pointed out everybody. You know what that includes? The 15,000 who went into their graves. They were forgiven. So now, this answer, third answer, now takes the Yontif of Tuvah into the desert, before the first generation in the Midbar, before the third or fourth generation in the Midbar. Let's go further. Ula Amar. Ula says, Yom Shebitlu, Bitel Hoshea ben Eloh, Prons Doyos. The 15th of August is the day that Hoshea ben Eloh, he was the last king of the 10 tribes. Yerobam ben Nebat was the one who split the kingdom and walked off with 10 tribes. Terrible tragedy for the Jewish people. And generations later, the last king of the 10 tribes is Hoshea ben Eloh. And Hoshea ben Eloh, in his days, Sanchedet, king of Asher, is going to exile the 10 tribes in his days. But what happened on two Baal in his day? Yom Shebitel Hoshea ben Eloh Prozoyos, the day that Hoshea ben Eloh removed the sentries, Shehoshid Yerobam ben Nebat al Adrachim, that Yerobam ben Nebat had stationed on the roads leading to Yerushalayim, Shelo Yali Yisrael Ledeger. When Yerobam ben Nebat split off from the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, you know what he was concerned about? He was concerned that Jews would continue to go to Yerushalayim for Pesach, Suas, and Sukkot. They come into Yerushalayim, they would see the glory, the pomp, the circumstances of Malchus Beis David, the king of the house of David, and he would lose power, influence over his people. So he closed the roads. Nobody of the 10 tribes was permitted to go up to Jerusalem. You know, when every time I come to this, like I can't understand how the Jews do this. How do they do it? And how did Jews not rebel against this, not to go to Yerushalayim? I don't understand. No, it's that we don't understand everything. So it means, of course, tragedy of tragedies, that the Jewish king is the one who prohibits Jews from going to Yerushalayim. The last king, Hoshea ben Eloh, took down the
roadblocks.
You know what they could have used then? They could have used some Maxon Watch women who would try to open the roads to Yerushalayim. But they don't do those kind of things. Okay? So Yom Yisrael Rekel V'Omar, turn over, Le'ezer Sheyitzu Yalu, let them go up to worship whichever they desire. He opened up the roads. The big question, of course, is, if he opened the roads, that means Jews can now go to Yerushalayim. Jews can go to Yerushalayim. And they say about him that he was a bad king. He did that which was evil with the eyes of God. And not only that, as we said, the exile began in his days. You know what the second, you know what the more profound tragedy was? They took down the roadblocks to Yerushalayim, and Jews didn't go. That was the tragedy. And that, in a sense, sounded the death knell for the ten tribes. So now we're talking about Tu Baal being the youngest. Oh, wow. 500 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael? All right. Next answer, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beit HaLetzurah. Now we're getting to the heart of it all. The day on which those who were killed at Beit Har were finally buried. Little history over here. The destruction of the Second Temple. We're moving 1,000 years further in history. The destruction of the Second Temple was in 70 AD. In 132-133 came the Bar Kokhba rebellion. The cruelty and the brutality of Rome was something Israel could not pay. It was not possible to live under Rome. And therefore, there appears a Bar Kokhba that the Akiva says, Dein Maru Bamashifa, he is King Messiah. They rebel against Rome, and they vanquish the Roman forces in Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable. They win. That was no small feat. Rome was the world power. The situation for Rome became that different that they had to bring Roman legions from Britannia all the way from England and start sending them to Eretz Yisrael in order to quell the Bar Kokhba rebellion. But it wasn't simply a rebellion. He conquered Yerushalayim. And then we know everything else. There was really a Jewish state was established. Coins were made with Shimon written on it, Shimon Bar Kokhba. And there was a burst of great Jewish strength. But unfortunately, it lasted 2.5 years, and then there were the last and final battle at which Rome really crushed the Jews of Eretz Yisrael was the Battle of Beit Har. They estimate that 500,000 Jews lost their lives at Beit Har. And then the cruelty of the Romans, they prohibited burying the bodies of the dead of Beit Har. That lasted for about 3 years, until permission was finally granted. There was a new Roman governor, and permission was granted for them to be buried, and that permission was granted on the 15th day of August. Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beit HaLetzurah, that was the day that the slain Jews of Beit HaLetzurah were afforded burial. The Omar Rav Nachman, Otolion Rav Nachman said, that day Shenitnu Haruge Beit HaLetzurah, Tiknu B'Yavna HaTov V'HaLetzurah. In Yavna, the rabbis, in honor of, to commemorate this great event, because it was a disgrace for the Jewish people that 500,000 bodies are lying up. And it was not simply just a change of heart on the part of Rome. I think they paid a great deal. Maybe the first time that they paid a great deal for bodies. to be able to bury bodies. And that permission was granted among the 50s of Av, and therefore our rabbis composed the fourth bracha of mention, the bracha of Atol Tameitiv, who hated, who made it, who yated Lanu. That bracha was composed on that day that became part of the mention. The first three brachas of mention are Min HaTorah, Hazonis HaKol, Al Ha'aretz Van HaMazon, Donei Berach Mavim Shalayim Amen. That's all from the Torah. But the last bracha, Hatov Vahmeitiv, Tikma Hatov Vahmeitiv. What's the Tov and the Meitiv? Hatov Shelo Hisriku. Miraculously, the body did not decay or decompose. Vahmeitiv Shemitiv Vahpura, and that God does good for us, confers good, was that the bodies were finally afforded burial. Afforded burial. Now we have this strange Tu Ba'av appearing. What? After Bayit Sheni, this is in the chronological order, this is the last one. There's going to be one more, but one more can apply during the entire period of the Bet HaMikdash, first Bet HaMikdash and second Bet HaMikdash. Now, the bracha of Hatov VaHameitiv is a festive, a great bracha. Add that to the fact Gnad is celebrating to Ba'av. The girls get dressed up and they go out and dance in the vineyards. Now, is that a commemoration? Is that the way we celebrate the fact that 500,000 bodies were buried? If there's something that in Yiddish Zuchman Eshtenknish, it doesn't seem to fit. I mean, some of the others know that you say that it was the day on which the tribes were permitted to intermarry, that I can understand girls dancing in the vineyards. It is because Shevet Binyamin was permitted to remarry, and by the way, there was some kind of ceremony where they grabbed wives for themselves. Alright. But that a profound tragedy, the ultimate crushing of the rebellion, and 500,000 bodies are buried. This is celebrated with the girls dancing in the vineyards. I would say that it's slightly inappropriate. It's one of the problems we have to deal with. But let's go one step further. The Gemara offers a sixth and final reason for the festive nature of the day. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Ami Tavari, number six. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said, Yom Shepostu Milichrot Eitzim Lamaharacha. The 15th of Av was the day that they stopped felling trees for the altar. The wood that was placed on the Mizbeach in the Bet HaMikdash, it means now we're talking about a period that the Bet HaMikdash was Kayam. Could be the first one, could be the second one, doesn't make any difference. On the 15th of Av, they stopped cutting trees down in order to prepare wood for the Mizbeach. Why? Because on this day, on Tu B'Av, the strength of the summer sun begins to diminish. And there's already a certain amount of moisture in the trees. And the wood that was used for the altar had to be that which was absolutely, totally dry. And this just wasn't going to be dry enough. So it was Yom Sheposkum Milichrot Eitzim Lamaracha. It was the day that they stopped felling trees for the altar. As we learned in a brayser, Rabbi Eliezer Agot Lomer, Rabbi Eliezer Agot says, Mechamish Osa Ba'av Ve'elech, from the 15th day of Av and further, Tosh Ashtocho Shelkama, the strength of the sun begins to diminish. The Lord had new course in Eitzim Lamaracha, and therefore they would not fell trees for the altar piety, she'ein on yivation, because they're not dry enough. And Rav Menashe says that day, the Tu B'Av was called Tvar Magal,
Tfal Maga means it's the day of breaking the axe. You didn't use the axes anymore. You didn't fell trees because you didn't use any wood anymore. Gemara goes on to make a statement that I have to tell you, I was nearly thinking of not learning this tomorrow, only because of the next few lines. And I was wondering, how in heaven's name was I going to explain this to you? Mikam ve'elach, the Gemara says. From the 15th of Avon onward, the Moshef Yosef. He who adds nocturnal hours to his daytime Torah study schedule means that he learns more Torah, a little bit more Torah at night, because on Tubav the nights become longer. The Moshef, anybody who's going to add time, additional study of Torah, Yosef. Life will be edited. He will have length of life. With the one Moses, and the one who doesn't add, the one who doesn't study more Torah from the 15th of Av and further at night, yea, or safe, shall be gathered. My yea, or safe, what does it mean, gathered? Omer Rab Yosef said, Tig b'dei ine, his mother will bury him. You got all shook up? You got all shook up? Your reality testing is very good. What a strange. It sounds even more strange. Cruel. Tikpid and Ine. What's going on over here? I tell you, you have to understand what's going on in this whole demise. If this two V'av was a day on which so many things happened throughout history, starting from the desert all the way to the period after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, why is it that we all of a sudden hear about it in the days Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? Isn't that how the Mishnah started? Oh, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yom tovim liyisrael. There were no greater yom tovim than Tuba'ah and Yom Kippur. I mean, here is a Yom Tov that it seems has had reasons to be marked for 1500 years in history, and finally Rav Shimon ben Gamliel hit that clap of the tish, and he says, Lo hayu yom tovim liyisrael. What's going on here? Well, why didn't it happen in the days of Moshe? Why didn't it happen in the days of Yeshua? Why not someplace in the middle of the period of the Shoftim? I mean, so it should have been a Yom Tov all the time. And the only time that we hear about it is now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lives after the Chorban, after the destruction of the Second Temple. His son was going to be Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was going to write the Mishnah in the year 200. There's something to the chronology here that has to be understood. The basic thrust of the Gemara is really the following, and it's something that we find it in different places in the Gemara. Following the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, a despair descended upon the Jewish people. The Gemara says in one place, Yom from the day that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Dinhu shemigzor al atzmeinu. You know what we should do? We should decree that nobody should get married and Jewish children should be born, because there's no point anymore to the Jewish nationhood. There is no Jewish nationhood. We are a defeated and destroyed people, and the best thing is the Zaro Shel Avraham Avinu Kol Ha'Me'elehem, the seed of Abraham shall simply disappear from the face of the earth. That was the extent of the despair. They had simply lost hope
And you know what then became the main task of the Gadol Yisrael? Their task became to encourage, give strength, bring hope to the Jewish people. That became the order of the day. And one of those who was the master of it was, of course, Rabbi Akiva. I tell you once, the Gemara that says, there's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Akiva was saying the Shir, and Vikei Sha'om Le'isnanem, the people wanted to fall asleep. You ask me, if I be by a Shir of Rabbi Akiva, I don't think that's the kind of Shir that anybody could fall asleep on. Not a chance in the world. But the Gemara says, Vikish almost none, people wanted to sleep. So Rabbi Akiva, you know, in order to wake them up, said to them, let Esther, whose mother, Sarah, lived for 127 years, let her come and rule over 127 states. You're like, you hear that? Tatsushko. Now, so these two things have something to do with one another. Because Sarah lived 127 years, let Esther come and rule over 127 states. So the chapter of the Gemara really is the following. It doesn't mean that the Akiva was saying the Shir, people weren't falling asleep by the Shir. The Gemara is saying the following. The historic period was such that the people simply wanted to go into a stupor of sleep and end the existence of the Jewish people. There was nothing left to live for. It's all over. The destruction was so total. The despair was so deep. Rabbi Akiva is one who says, well, are you talking about? You know what message he's sending to them? Can you imagine? A Sarah Imenu is able to be the mother of the Jewish people and live till age 127, and at age 90 she had herself Ayinala called Itzakul over there, and from that Yitzchak, who was born by a miracle. It was a miracle. His birth was a miracle. And then, many years later, all of Israel is going to be destroyed. Haman is going to destroy them all. Comes our little Madala, he's thanking Madala. By the name of Esther, you know, comes out of the blue. And all of a sudden she becomes the ruler of 127 cities. These are not great miracles. What Rabbi Akiva is telling them, the Jewish people live by a miracle, hang on miracles. The Jewish people are a continual miracle that was wrought by God. There's never reason to despair. There can be discouragement. You never lose hope. That's of course the famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva and Chachmei Yisrael. They saw, they were on Har Tzofim, and they saw a fox coming out of the Bet HaMikdash. And they cry and he laughs. They ask him, why are you laughing? And he asks them, why are you crying? They say, we're crying because take a look at the destruction. He says, that's why I'm laughing, because when I see that the destruction happened just as the prophet said, then I am absolutely certain that whatever the prophet said about the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, and that there's going to be a great new hope for Klal Yisrael, I believe that was absolutely perfect faith. And they said to Nechamtanu, Rabbi Akiva, Nechamtanu Akiva, you consoled us. You consoled us, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's job was to give these people something to live for. It's not all over. And we've been masters of that. We've been absolute masters of survival. And of course, is it possible that the greatest example in all history we saw in our lifetime? What are you talking about? In our lifetime, we saw the greatest act of survival. What are you talking about? From Holocaust to Kumat, the United States, it's unbelievable. You stop to think about it. a people that the world thought has simply ceased to exist, disappeared from the face of this earth, are able to rise in Eretz Yisrael, fight against seven nations and invade. You know, it's, when you really think about it, you know, we say it. You know, it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. No people in history were ever able to do anything of the sort. It's unbelievable. That's all because of this tremendous ability to regenerate and to be reborn. You know what's happening over here in the Gemara? Haruge Beitar. You understand? Half the million Jews were killed in battle. Israel is crushed. But not completely crushed. You know, Rav Shimon Galil came along. Rav Shimon Galil took the job of Rabbi Akiva. And you know what the job of Rabbi Akiva is? To give courage, to give encouragement, give hope. A Yontif, Tu B'Av. Yontif, Tu B'Av. You know what the meaning of this Yontif is? Do you know what each one of the six answers in the Gemara? The six different things that happened on Tu B'Av. You know what the common denominator that runs like a fine thread through all of them? That terrible things or difficult periods come to an end. When is there despair? You find yourself in the middle of this terrible situation and you think it's never going to end. Tu B'Av says, take it easy. The gzeira that they shall die in the desert came to an end. The limitation on tribes marrying one another came to an end. The near destruction of the tribe of Binyamin came to an end. Saved. Each one of them. Here was the terrible tragedy of all these bodies that are out there. It was such a shame to the Jewish people. That also came to an end. It means that, put it in another way, that whenever we find ourselves in an extremely difficult situation, we have to believe with perfect faith we will overcome. And in each one, people go through difficult periods in their lives. Klal Yisrael goes through difficult periods in their history. You all know what the end is going to be. The end is going to be, it's going to be good. We should only see it. That's all we want. We want it to come soon, and we want to be there to see it. It's very difficult living through difficult periods of time. We're in one of them too. As a people, we're in a difficult period of time. It all comes to an end. Tu B'Av became the day that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel established as a day that of hope. What was it that the people had said after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and after the terrible defeat at Beitar? What have they said? Dinhu, by right, what we should do is we should decree that nobody should marry, we shouldn't have children. The Zaro to Avram Avinu and the seed of Avram, our father, Kola will disappear. So along came Reb Shimon Galil and he said, "Fuck back here, Abba, just the opposite. You know what we're going to do on that day that seemed to have signaled the end of a tragedy? Girls are going to go out into the vineyards and we're going to make, you know what it became? A celebration of life. Tu B'Av is a celebration of the communal and national life of Kaisel. There's hope. Take it easy. We will rebuild, we'll marry, we'll have children, there'll be another generation, and they will continue on into eternity." What are we going to do with this last shtick of Gomorrah over there? That they stopped they didn't cut any more wood for the Mizbeach, because the strength of the sun diminishes, And therefore, if Yosef says, you have to start learning more Torah at night, because the nights get longer. And the one who doesn't study more Torah, yay or safe, will be gathered in. And in long conversation, he says, what does gathered in mean? His mother will bury him? Nah, you know that she, maybe it's because I took a long walk in Harnof yesterday. It's very good for my neshama. You have to understand that I haven't seen this any place. I say it myself. I take full responsibility for it. What Rav Yosef is saying is the following. The way our rabbis express great ideas. Day is the period of Geula. Redemption is called day. The Golus is called night. The long night of the exile. Rav Yosef is saying the following. We are now at the beginning of what may be a long night for the Jewish people. And we're going to have to make our way through that night. How are we going to make it until the next dawn is going to rise? It may be 1,000 years, it may be 2,000 years. Rav Yosef says there's only one thing that's going to take me through that Golus, and that's going to be Torah. So when he's talking about the nights getting longer, he's talking about the onset of a long exile. And he says that if we're going to learn Torah, we will make it through, because only Torah is going to take us through that 2,000 years Golus. And we who are on the other end can say with absolute certainty that the only thing that took us through, reform didn't take us through, the Enlightenment didn't take us through, the Haskalah didn't take us through, it's only Torah that took us through those 2,000 years. So therefore he says, if you don't learn Torah, the term that he uses is, let his mother bury him. You know what it means, his mother bury him? The word Ummah, nation, comes from the word Ein. You know what he's saying? If you're not going to learn Torah, the nation will be buried. There won't be another a Jewish people to come out of this long night. He's not cursing anybody. That's not what you'll say. That's not any of the Tamayonel. He's saying, take a look at what's beginning here. We're in the early stages of it. He was about 100 years after the Korban Abayit, but they had the vision. They knew that there's a prescription for getting through it onto the other side. There is nothing else that has ever preserved the Jewish people except the Torah. Not Hebrew, not even the land. The only thing that we have been able to take with ourselves wherever we went was Torah. And that's the only thing that kept us going through. There is nothing tired. All of the conferences and all of the plenary sessions and all of the conventions dealing with the dwindling and vanishing Jewish people, they can't come up with the answer that Rabbi Yosef came up with. What's going to be the end of Jewish education in this country and in America? It's because it's not Jewish education that the problem is. Tu Ba'av is the yontif, the celebration of the life of Klal Yisrael. Difficult periods come to an end. And if you're getting ready for another difficult period, then you have to know that that's the only thing that's going to take us through. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. There's no one who can tell us anything else. And that's what this whole Gemara is talking about. This whole Gemara is talking about the celebration of the survival, not in survival, thriving. We thrived in the Golos with all of us. We thrived. What was created by the Jewish people in 2,000 years of exile Elhamin can't believe the great works of literature and thought and science. It's unbelievable what we were able to do. And money. We were an economic force throughout Europe. We were also the poorest in Poland and the Pale Settlement in Russia. To God is the yontif that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel established this yontif, and the way to celebrate it is, yes, go out and dance. And go, I'll tell you, if there's anything that we need today, is to make sure that all of the Jewish singles, boys and girls, if we could marry them off, boys, we could add another million people to the Jewish people, one of the serious problems that we suffer from. It's all part of Jewish survival, but it all has to be on the basis of Torah. Chag Tu Baal Sameach. No class next week. Go enjoy yourselves in honor of Tu Baal. Go enjoy yourselves.